Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. It's all going on this morning. Camavinga talks for Manchester United. Have we agreed a fee for Kone? And last night, you know, we had Romano talking about Camavinga, but also talking about Kone talks. If you follow the United Stand, that will be slow sports news. July the 2nd, I said, keep an eye on Manu Kone. That was 2 weeks ago. We're well sourced on this. We can give you the exclusive latest on it. Also, a few other bits as well around Stiller this morning. And also, where is this Lisandro Martinez story coming from? We'll talk about that as well. But look, interestingly, a lot of people talking about Camavinga. I do want to get in there. And we may as well just say, would you sign Camavinga as an early poll if you're watching live? Would you sign Camavinga? I mean, we have said, look, I know we're in talks with Kone. We spoke about that at the weekend. I know those talks are ongoing. I know no decision has been made yet. I know there's another midfielder. I don't know who that other midfielder is. What I would say about Kone, though, is that, and Tchouaméni, is that any so-called footballing expert or United fan who watched the France game last night and decided that Kone and Tchouaméni would not be good for Man United, you should be in shame this morning. You should be doing the walk of shame somewhere, because how can you judge somebody on 45 minutes? How can you judge somebody on 90 minutes? And how can you miss a tactical error of that magnitude by Deschamps? If you play two midfielders against Rodri, Olmo and Ruiz, you will get murdered in a footballing sense, no matter who you are. That could be Kimmich and Valverde, and they'll get destroyed because Deschamps bottled it and didn't bring Cherki on until it was too late to match up 3 for 3. They got absolutely... Such a piece of piss for Spain last night. Doesn't matter who the two are, you're going to look crap because you're going to get passed around. That's what happened. So, yeah, I wouldn't be judging Kone or Tchouaméni on that. I mean, anybody who watched the game with us on That's Football, it was incredible how Deschamps just left two midfielders against three for 70 minutes. Cost them the semi-final. But probably bottled it because he didn't dare take off Elise Dembele or Mbappe to make the tactical switch. But, look, let's talk. I'm also aware of, can you do a hotometer on Kone? We will get a hotometer back tomorrow. That's a good idea. But we've sort of, it went on holiday and never came back after the terrible start to the window. I don't know whether it's AI or I don't know whether it's Rio Fairyland being a prat, but there is a little clip going around where Rio has spoken about Romano saying that Man United have agreed a 45 million deal for Kone. They haven't. It could be AI. It could be Rio being a prat. I mean, at the end of the day, either way, you just don't know, because this is the guy who sits there pretending he's got sources. This is the guy saying, I'm hearing it's Qatar. What I would say is anything that comes out of his mouth, you've just got to think about, get the contract. I'm hearing it's Qatar. Whether it's AI or not, it's not true. We haven't agreed a fee for Kone. We're not at that stage with Kone. So, not happening. What I can tell you exclusively about Kone is what I've told you a couple of times already with a little bit of extra. Man United do like the player. There's a little bit of reluctance in the board because they prefer prospects and Kone is 25. I can't say who that is on the board because it's unfair, but there is people who like Kone, and Omar Berada has a very good relationship with Kone's representatives. So we have held talks. I said that on Saturday that we'd held talks, and it's funny how David Ornstein and Romano have confirmed that yesterday. So, you know, obviously that's good information. We said 2 weeks ago, keep an eye on Kone, and now, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, it's coming out. We're not at a point yet where it's going to happen. Kone's still going to be staying in the United States because France have a third place game on Saturday. Talks are still progressing, but even from Kone's side, there is a belief that United are talking to somebody else. So we're not at the decision time yet. We are definitely in talks, and that's come out, and that is true. Kone's definitely one to watch, as we said 2 weeks ago, and that is true. I think where we are in the window, it's a good signing. I mean, it's not Tchouaméni, it's not Tonali, and it's not Elliot Anderson, and we're not going to get anybody like that. I don't believe we can get a marquee signing anymore. But in the balance of the midfield we've got, I think Kone offers something very, very different. He's got good ball carrying, he's very good at passing, and he's got a ridiculous engine. So I think he would offer something very different to Santos and Tielemans and Mainoo. And he's at a reasonable price, and United will like all of those things, and he's at a reasonable wage. So he's definitely a player United like. But there is another player. There is another player, and we will have to wait and see how it plays out. But he's definitely, definitely in talks with United, and you know, we'll bring you the latest when it develops beyond that. In relation to Camavinga, look, I don't know anything about this. I mean, I'm just literally just going to read this out, and you know, whilst certain people don't credit us for having that information way before anybody else, that's why I don't like the ITK game, because people decide who to credit and who not, and you know, they're out there just claiming information themselves. That's the world we live in. But I don't know anything about Camavinga, so I will give credit to Romano, even if it's not always reciprocal. Camavinga has been mentioned internally alongside Kone. A deal for him will be possible if he decides to leave Real Madrid. United want a defensive midfielder who can run, do the dirty work, and do it with intensity. As well as Manu Kone, Camavinga has been discussed internally at United as they look for a holding midfielder that can cover a lot of ground. The player, however, wants to stay at Real Madrid at the moment. Of course, Romano also said that Man United have spoken to Manu Kone's agent. He's one of the names on their defensive list, which we already know, but obviously some people don't want to believe us. So Romano said that as well. So there you go. It is happening. I'm not saying the deal's happening, but we are in talks. So look, I think with Camavinga, let's just discuss Camavinga for a moment, because there is definitely a conversation to be had there. As I understand it, Camavinga's still only 23. I think he's 24. Well, he's definitely going to be 24 next year at some point. There's talk about his injury record. Now, I'm just going to do this live now because I've only just popped it up on the screen. So looking at his so-called injury record, it doesn't really stack up to me. Somebody said he's missed 53 games in the last year or so. Well, he hasn't. He did his knee in November 23 and came back in January 24 and missed 10 games. He did a knee again in August 24 and was back in September and missed 10 games. He did his hamstring in April 25 and was back in July 25. He did his ankle in August 25 and was back in July 25. And then, you know, he had toothache, I think, in March. So he had a knee maybe 2 years ago. He's had a couple of hamstring issues that were pretty much close together in 2025. And he had a couple of ankle problems around Christmas. So, I mean, look, they're three separate injuries. But, I mean, I don't know that it's at a stage where you'd go, that's a problem. Look, you'd run a medical. I do think with Camavinga, there is a bit of an unfair myth that he's really injury prone. I think he's had three separate injuries where he wasn't out for ages. The ankle, the hamstring and the knee. He wasn't out for ages. He was out for a couple of months with both. There's no reason why that wouldn't be a reason to sign Camavinga. If he can come through a medical, he's fine. So I think that Anwash, you've just kind of got yourself blocked. What a stupid, stupid thing to do. What a shame. Stupid person. You're gone. Anyway, so Camavinga is definitely someone we're considering. Now, the interesting thing about Camavinga is he almost becomes a bit of a marquee. I'll talk about whether I'd prefer players over Camavinga in a moment. You can tell me. But the interesting thing about Camavinga is he can play CDM and he can play left back. So he almost becomes a very interesting player. Now, I don't think we should be buying a CDM who can play as a left back, because what do you play him as? Utility players are great when you've got 14 specialists. You know, people like Wes Brown, John O'Shea, they were worth their weight in gold.
What we need is a specialist left back and a specialist six. We don't need somebody who can back up at both. So I wouldn't be buying Camavinga because he can play left back. I'd be buying Camavinga because he can play CDM. That's where I think he comes in. Now, I might shock a few people here, but I'm not unhappy with Camavinga or Kone. In relation to some of the people we could be looking at, Sanderberg, Belaba, I'm happy with Camavinga or Kone. Camavinga has an immense amount of potential. He's played at Real Madrid. He's played in the Champions League. His CV is very good. And if we look at him and say, no, my big problem with Camavinga is, and I've said it many times, is I worry about the wasted talent at Real Madrid. The player he was at Rennes, I really wanted him. The player he's been at Real Madrid, he's fell off. He's not really gone to the level he needs to. But football is full of players that sort of didn't do what they needed to do and ended up being really good. Look at Odegaard. Odegaard went to Real Madrid as a huge prospect, didn't really work out, goes to Arsenal and has been fantastic for them. I mean, I would take an Odegaard situation every day of the week. And some people don't rate Odegaard, but when you look at what Odegaard's done at Arsenal, if Camavinga came and replicated that, I'd be very, very happy. So look, I completely take on board that Camavinga hasn't done well at Real Madrid, and you worry about mentality, consistency, etc. But it's if you take Sanderberg and Camavinga, are you having a laugh? Like, come on, you're gonna go Camavinga. And if you take Belaba and Camavinga, and we're not in talks for Belaba, it's not happening, as we said last night. But look, if you take Belaba and Camavinga, basically the same age, one's at Brighton and has been sat on the bench all season, but has potential. One's at Real Madrid, has been in and out of the team and has played in the Champions League and will be cheaper than Belaba. You go for Camavinga every day of the week. So I would put Camavinga right in there. I'm not saying he's my number one choice, but I would definitely have him there beyond Belaba, beyond Sanderberg, beyond Tyler Adams. You know, Camavinga for me drops into the top three targets we should be looking at now because, and as I said, rightly or wrongly, because he's a Real Madrid player and because he's a well-known name, he almost wrongly becomes a marquee signing because of his reputation. So it ticks a lot of boxes for Man United. If you go and sign Camavinga, there's a bit of glamour. There's a bit of a shirt seller there, isn't there, rightly or wrongly? But I think fundamentally, looking at the player, you can't argue with the fact that he is ticking a lot of boxes for Man United. He is very, very good defensively, which is why he can play at left back. He's very energetic. He can put a tackle in. He can pass a ball. He can drive with the ball. So I think Camavinga is interesting. I do. And if it's Camavinga or Kone, I'm actually quite content. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that Kone, Tielemans and Santos is the dream midfield. I still think it lacks ambition. You know, they'll have all three of them for under £150 million. And I do think there needs to be questions asked of Sir Jim Radcliffe and the Glazers as to where's the ambition. But as fans, what we're trying to do is get the best out of what we can get. And I think some people get lost on this. We can't sign Anderson now. We can't sign Tonali now. We can't sign Mateus Fernandez now. We can't sign Tchouaméni now. We can't sign Bruno Guimaraes now. We can't sign Alex Scott now. Looks like that deal's gone. We can't buy players that are more than £70 million. We won't pay more than £200,000 a week. So as fans, we should call that out. It's a lack of ambition, but we also have to get the best we can get within the parameters they're doing because we watch the games. Nope, we get nothing for watching United finish outside of Europe. They're not going anywhere anyway. They're building a stadium. So as shit as it sounds, we have to get the best out of the shit situation they provide. And Kone, Tielemans and Santos wouldn't be horrific in the situation of the parameters they provided. So look, let's see what happens with Camavinga. The big barrier with Camavinga is, a little bit like Tchouaméni, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to leave Real Madrid. If Real Madrid say you're for sale and you've got no future, does he want to come to Man United? Because Tchouaméni would have come to Man United happily and worked hard. Like if Real Madrid had said no, we're moving on from you, he would have gone, fine, this happens in football. I'm ambitious. I want to go to Man United. Does Camavinga do that? Or does Camavinga go, I don't want to go to Man United. I want to stay here. That's the big question for me because I don't want a Di Maria situation. You want a player that wants to come to this club. And that's what we don't know about Camavinga, because he wants to stay at Real Madrid. I've got no problem with a player wanting to stay at Real Madrid. We're not competing with Real Madrid. I mean, some people think we've got an Everton budget, so we're not competing with Real Madrid. If Real Madrid or Bayern Munich or PSG move players on, we should be looking at the front of the queue, because that's where we are. But they've got to want to come to Manchester United. So look, positive message of the day, day three. I'm not opposed to signing Camavinga. I think it's a good story. I really do. What's your thoughts on Indy Kaler's tweet about Baleba? I think it's a shame that David Ornstein ever gave them any credibility a year ago, because I've been looking at their account for a year. I've been looking at it for 10 years. It's full of shit. It's absolutely full of shit. And that Baleba story is absolute shite. That's not to say that United might not get desperate later in the window and go for Baleba, but we're not looking at him now. Absolutely not looking at him now. So I don't know where that shit's coming from. As I say, we're in a very fortunate position as a community that most of the information we've got has been absolutely spot on, whether it's Tillemans, Kone, Chumini, Baleba deal being off. We've got very good information at the moment, and shout out to the people who are giving us that. If I could give you their names, I would, but that's not how it works. We're not in for Baleba. We are in talks with Kone. Camavinga, I don't know. Romano's put that out. But if it's true, I wouldn't be opposed to it. And look, it's interesting, though, because I do agree that there is elements of Camavinga that has people concerned. That's reflected in the live chat. Would you sign Camavinga? Yes, 56%. No, 44%. But think about it. I understand the reservations, but think about it. He's way better than Sanderberg. He's way better than Baleba. He's got way more experience. He's Champions League proven. He's only 23. The injury stuff is a myth. When you actually look at the injuries, it's a myth. There's no cruciate ligament injury. There's no smashed up hamstring. There's nothing that's long term. He's just had three separate injuries that kept him out for a couple of months, which is not unusual. It's not unusual because he's still young. Still developing. So the injury thing is not a problem if he gets through a medical. I wouldn't be looking at the injury thing as a problem, because as we know with United, if there is anything there, we won't do it anymore. We won't do a Mason Mount anymore. We won't do an Eric Bailly anymore. So I'm not worried about the injury. Look at him as a player. A player like that with something to prove can be a very good signing. And also, he's a defensive monster. Like, he really is. That's why they use him as a left back. He really is. So I think Camavinga's not a bad player. Bright says he's missed 51 games in three seasons. Well, I don't think he has. I don't think he has. On Transfer Market, it says 10, 10, which is 20, 30. All right. Yeah, you're right. He's missed 51 games in three seasons. But when you look at it, it's 10, 10, 4, 6, 13, 6, 3, 2. That's what I mean. Like, if it's, there's not a massive injury there. Look, I think we've got to be really careful with this. You know, I see it all the time. I don't want this player because he's injury prone, right? But you're not doing the medical. People moan about the Edison thing when we do a thorough medical. We've just done a medical on Tillemans, who's got a hamstring injury, and he's gone through it. Why has he gone through it? Because they've looked at the injury. They know how long it's going to heal. They've looked at everything else and gone, it's fine. They will run a medical on Camavinga. And if he's got a problem, he won't come through it. And if he hasn't got a problem, he will come through it. You can't sit there going, he's injury prone. Like, he's either not, or he is. I know it's bad to say it, but I think you've got to trust the club. If the club go for Camavinga, we can't sit there going, he's injury prone. That's not how it's going to work anymore. And I'm at the front of the queue to criticise how Man United's run. But if you're not going to go for Camavinga, I'm okay with it. I'm not going to sit here saying I'm worried about injuries. I think those days are over, to be honest. Hopefully I'm right on that. Who would you go for out of Camavinga or Kone? Well, that's the million-dollar question. And look, I don't know if Camavinga is the other player. You know, Romano and a few people are saying that Man United are looking at a load of options. I was told it's one other player. It's Kone they're in talks with, and one other player. I don't think United if you think about it logically, I know what Romano said. I know what other people have said, but I do not believe, and I don't know what your thoughts are, I don't believe United are out there having talks with Kone, having talks with Camavinga, having talks with Berg, having talks with Alex Scott. I don't think we're doing that. I don't. I think we've locked in on two players, one of which is Kone, and I think that we are deciding what to do out of those two. Because if we're talking to three, four, five players, what the hell were we doing in February, March, April and May? Like, it would come across as desperate. And you have a list.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I believe Man United have a list. And I think they're working down that list. And I would imagine Kone was on that list. Much the same as Ederson was on that list. Much the same as Matheus Fernandes was on that list. So I think that whoever this second midfielder is, and it could be Camavinga, it will probably end up being one of those two players, Kone and whoever the other player is. I mean, I don't know whether Camavinga is the player. You have to analyse it on experience. What, in the five strands of a transfer, Camavinga, why would Romano mention Camavinga in the five strands of a transfer? Why would he do it? Total bollocks? Romano doesn't put total bollocks out. Totally true? Well, could be. Player looking for a new contract at Real Madrid by using Man United. Real Madrid want to sell him, so that doesn't work. Real Madrid using Man United to generate interest in Camavinga, could be that. Player's agent using Man United to generate interest in his client, but Camavinga wants to stay at Real Madrid. So I think the only two scenarios for me is, it's totally true that we're in for Camavinga, or it's Real Madrid using Man United to generate interest in Camavinga. They're the only two scenarios. And Romano would put both of those out. He would. Like, you know, Romano has got no reason not to. So if it's Real Madrid putting it out there about Man United wanting Camavinga to generate interest in him so they can sell him, you'd get that. You'd understand that because Real Madrid want to sell someone and that's the one they want to sell. Or it's true that Man United are going for him. So and you believe one of those two scenarios, don't you? I think what's really interesting, though, and I saw somebody saying it in the chat, it's interesting how that, what's his name? Who was it in The Athletic who said, somebody came on the show yesterday and went, oh, you've been put in your place. Carl Anker, he said on that podcast, I spoke to Man United and Man United aren't in talks with Kone. And I said to you yesterday morning, before Ornstein said anything, before Romano said anything, I said to you, Man United have held talks with Kone. Now, you can believe The Athletic journalist if you want, that's absolutely fine. You know, they've been to uni, whatever. But I said, Man United have old talks with Kone. And somebody in the chat was going, you're a liar, you're making it up. And I said, I'm not. I've got no reason to make it up. Why would I know about Tillemans? Why would I know about Chiumini? Why would I know last night that we're not talking to Belaba? There you go. Romano, Kone talks. Ornstein, Kone. So it just shows you, I think these traditional Man United client journalists, and I could reel a load of them off, most of them in the press conference, are getting nothing, absolutely nothing on transfers. The transfer stuff is coming from stuff away from the club, and the people close to the club aren't being given anything by the club, which I think is a good thing because you've got to work for it. I don't think journalism is being handed stuff by the club. I really don't. And I think the club are right to say, hello, is that Man United comms department? Are you talking to Kone? I think the club are right to say, go and find it out yourself. Go and find it out yourself. It's not Gary Neville giving me the information, by the way. People are saying, oh, it's interesting how you've got information. Now you're working with the overlap. It's not Gary Neville giving the information. Yeah, he's not going out doing that. He's too busy in New York. To recap on Kone, someone just said, what's the story on Kone? Look, as we've been saying for a long time, keep an eye on Manu Kone. As we've been saying for a long time, Man United are in talks with Kone. And whether you believe us or not, Romano's confirmed it now. They are in talks with another player. I think it's two, Kone and one other. Decisions need to be made. I saw a lot of people last night saying, oh, Kone's crap. They got smothered by 3-on-2. They got swamped. Tchouaméni and Kone, Tchouaméni and Rabiot, they got swamped by a crap tactic by Deschamps trying to play 2 against 3. You can't do that against Spain. He's a good player. United have got a decision to make. There's definitely a bit of uncertainty. I think what goes in Camavinga's favour is that he's 2 years younger than Kone, and United like prospects. And if they look at Camavinga and go, he's 2 years younger, he's played in the Champions League, he's a little bit more high profile, and he can play more defensively, then maybe that's where they're going to head. But if you're asking me what I prefer over Kone or Camavinga, it's tough. It's tough. I'm not going to pretend that I don't think Camavinga's an interesting one. I just would go for Kone because I think he wants it. I think he wants the Man United move. A little bit like Mbeumo from Brentford to Man United and Cunha from Wolves to Man United and Santos from Chelsea to Man United and Tillemans from Villa to Man United. I think Roma to Man United, he wants this deal. I think he's hungry for this deal. Whereas Camavinga, I don't know whether he's hungry for Man United when he wants to stay at Real Madrid. So that would be the thing. On pure ability, I think you can argue for both. But I think we want players that want it, and he wants it. And also, I don't know what Camavinga's wage is at Real Madrid. I certainly know that Kone's wage will be well within what we want. So he's earning about 240 million a year, a week. 240 million a week. Bloody hell. He's not earning 240 million a week. He's not earning 240 million a year. He's earning about 12.5 million at Real Madrid a year. Apparently, he's got a 1 billion release clause, according to the New York Times. Yeah, we're not paying that. He's on about 200 grand a week, 240 euro a week. So that's a lot of money for Man United as well. I mean, Kone's going to be half that. So all these things do make a difference. Contract till 2029 for Camavinga, but that wage thing's important. That wage thing is important. And ultimately, when you balance it up, you've got a player in Kone who's going to be a cheaper wage and a cheaper fee who wants to come to Man United. And then you've got a player in Camavinga who's double the wage, more expensive, and maybe, you know, is unsure about coming to Man United. So I think you probably do go towards Kone. What's really important to say, very important, and Ornstein alluded to it last night, and he's absolutely right. There will be a deadline on Kone, and that will be put forward by his people. There will be a deadline put forward on Kone. They won't sit and wait because, you know, you've got to manage your player's career. Kone's a very athletic player. He can't miss pre-season waiting on Man United. We can't have an Ugarte or an Amrabat situation where it's, oh, just wait for us till the end of August. There is other interest. So United, if they want Kone, it's not like he's going to sit and go, I'll wait till August the 31st. Like, there are other options. There are other teams looking at him, and there will be a bit of competition. From what I'm told, United win that race if they move on him. But if we wait too long, I think that there will be a little bit of a, you know, competition there. So interesting, exciting. Let's see what happens. But look, I'm not opposed to Camavinga. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a shit deal. We've been through it. I'm not opposed to it. Let's get some of your comments. I will then talk to you about Stiller, and then we will talk about Lisandro Martinez. Great show this morning. Hope you're all doing very well. Make sure you're subscribing to the channel. This is the place to be. Best conversation. And to be fair, the best news at the moment. Really enjoying it. Thank you, everybody who's getting involved, new and old. Okay, so first question here we've got is about Lewis Hall. I mean, look, what I would say about Lewis Hall is that there is no indication, much the same as Belabor. I think it's more of a fan-led conversation. And the danger with that is that there's good information out there about what we're actually doing. In relation to Lewis Hall, I think United would go for him if the price was right and he said he wanted to come to Man United. But there are a lot of ifs, buts and maybes, and Newcastle are a mess. I mean, they won't let Bruno Guimaraes go at the moment. So I think that, you know, that would be a very hard deal to do. I also think Man United are focusing on the midfield first. I don't think they can pivot to a left back or a winger or an attacker for the simple reason they have a budget. And if they went and bought Lewis Hall for 60 million, how much would they have left for the midfield? So I think they've got to sort the midfield first. My thought was they might wander off and do a left back or an attacker and come back to the midfield in August. But I think because of the budget, they've got to get that midfield sorted first. So I think nothing happens on anything else until the midfield. I'd prefer Truffert over Lewis Hall, says Irish Ghost. What I like about this window is none of the journalists have got anything right. United are doing deals in secret again. Thank you for the Lord, says Craig. Yeah, I mean, we're enjoying it because we're getting very good information. But, you know, I think also because United aren't feeding stuff out to the usual suspects, we're not, you know, we're getting more focused information as well. Kone and Scott gives us good depth, says Rainbreaker. Look, in relation to Alex Scott, never say never, but I think that's off. And I've not been told that officially because he could be the other midfielder. It might not be Camavinga. We'll have to wait and see. But my feeling on Scott is that the information is out there. 80 million minimum. Lots of competition. They don't want to sell him. United don't want to spend that money. So I like Scott, but we don't want to spend that amount of money. So I don't think it's on at the moment. It was Callum Zed who asked about Lewis Hall. Tillemans' wage, says JSD. I don't know what Tillemans' wage is. I would imagine it's somewhere around 150 grand a week. I know it's Ruben Amrim giving you the info, says Alex. Oh, yeah. Amrim's well tapped in on the transfer news. It's really normal for Man United to sack a manager and then tell him all the transfer stuff, yeah. Lilo in the live chat says it's probably between 150 and 175. Look, it's going to be under 200 grand, isn't it? Considering how Carrick wants us to play, I think the marquee signing could be Wharton. We're doing surprise deals anyway, says Ami. I tell you what, Ami, if you're right, you're right. I would be absolutely stunned if it's Wharton. He will cost 80 million. United don't want to pay that. He's also a player that United have briefed is too similar to Mainu. Well, Tillemans is similar to Mainu. So why would you have three players that in United's eye are similar to Wharton, Mainu? So I don't see Wharton at all. I'm glad we're not getting Edison because it shows due diligence. I wish we'd showed that with Mount. Exactly, Rob. And, you know, I would applaud the fact that I don't have any concerns about signing injury players anymore. I think the medical team is clearly improved. Kone's off, surely. Fairyland gave it the kiss of death from his sunbed, says Nick P. I mean, if that's not AI, the guy's a super prat, isn't he? I mean, why does he not just settle into being a legend talking about the game he used to play? Why does he have to try and be a Poundland, you know, fucking ITK influencer? But I was told it's AI. If it's not AI, it's incredible. It's pronounced Nemecha, says Josh. Great. Fascinating. Thanks for that. What do you think of Varela as six, says Hansa? Not a player United are looking at, so I think we need to live in the real world. I'd love Camavinga. I'm not being, you know, dismissive, but there's no point talking about what do I think about this, what do I think about that. I think we've got to lock in on reality, and, you know, what I want and what I think is not what we're going to get. So we have to really react to what we're going for. Vlad says, I'd love Camavinga, but wouldn't mind Kone too, given that Rangnick wanted him whilst he was still at Mönchengladbach. Big green flag for me. I didn't know that, Vlad. I didn't know that. I mean, I was watching That's Football last night, and funnily enough, I remembered I had Kone on one of my career modes. I had Dorgu as well, and I haven't done a career mode for a few years. So, I mean, I'm not saying I know what I'm on about, but I remember having Kone because he was at Mönchengladbach and he had the green in his hair. So I wonder if he signed for United, whether he'd have the red in his hair. But look, if Rangnick liked him, that to me would definitely be a very, very big tick in the box as well. Because Rangnick didn't seem to miss when he told us about all the players we should get and where they ended up. Do we have any scouts in Croatia? Talents popping up left, right and centre. Midfielders balling in Serie A. Vardy, El City, Vuskovic, Brighton. Also longevity is insane, says John. Fair point. Camavinga had a rupture of the abductor tendon. Huge no for me, says Pack. Do we need to be worried about that? Bruno also has a release clause, says AJ. I'll come on to who I think might leave United as a shock this summer, but I don't expect Bruno to go anywhere. Would Carrick play Camavinga as a left-back who moves into midfield, says Ridden? I wouldn't like us to do that. I want a specialist left-back. We're not looking at him yet, but Xavi Guerra from Valencia would be a good option. It's time we have a top-class Spanish midfielder, says Sunrise's Army. We did look, is he the lad from Valencia? We did look at him a couple of years ago. It never developed, though. Perez Golf says, long on here, I would genuinely love Camavinga. Techs many boxes, elite recovery, can defend huge spaces, drives through midfield instead of just passing, and he's only 23. I don't disagree. I don't think Camavinga's a bad shout. He just, for me, it's whether he wants the move. Do you think United can do a loan to buy for Camavinga, says Football? I mean, that would be even better. Kone missed 278 days since 22-23, says Bite. Since, look, I think people are focusing on transfer market injury record way too much. If we go for these players, we will run a medical. If there is a problem with the player, we won't sign them, as per Edison. I really do think injury issues shouldn't be a consideration for us mere mortals. United will not go for a player if there's a problem with injuries. We've already seen that with Edison. They really wanted Edison and they didn't do the deal because of this knee thing. We won't go doing deals on risks, clearly. We're run by business people. They clearly aren't going to take risks. Since we abandoned the over 26, who would be a good left back, says Seth? Anthony Robinson. The ITK indie, whatever his name, is saying we're placing a bid for Belaba. They aren't reliable, but thoughts. Total bollocks, though. For me, United need a midfield enforcer, but when we are under pressure, we need someone to calm it down, like Kone, Fofana, or even Palinha, says Craig. Would be okay with Camavinga on loan, says Sunrise's Army. I think the third midfielder will be out of the blue, like Santos and Tillemans. I would think they could take a risk by buying in Europe for this one, says Mark. Do you think Belaba for 50 million will be a good signing? Rest can be invested in a left back and a left winger. Carrick being a good manager versus being a great tactician can get his confidence back, says Anshul. I would sign Kone, try to include Xerxes going the other way. Tried to sign Hall as a marquee signing. We need a new left back. Can't go another season with Shaw, says Cohen. 200 plus days of injury since 2023, says Bite. I'm getting a bit bored of the injury stuff. I mean, how many more times can I say we've just pulled out of a deal for Edison because of an issue? I think you're wasting your time worrying about injuries. We'll either go for him or we won't. And if we go for him, you can't moan about injuries because they'll do a bloody medical. I like Camavinga. I like Kone. Injury worries, says Damien. Morning, Mark. Could you wish my friend OJ a happy birthday? Happy birthday to OJ. That's from Okachukwa. And from me. I would purchase Kone and Camavinga since Kone can play in centre midfield and Camavinga can play DM and left back. Camavinga has played many games as left back for Madrid. What do you think, says Dusty? You'd be buying him as a left back then if you bought him and Kone. I mean, I don't know that Camavinga is a specialist left back. In the traditional sense, but I don't think United would do that, Dusty, if I'm being honest. Camavinga isn't the player we need or want, says Gaza. After watching France this World Cup, I'd like to see Kone in a red shirt. Savage says Sangari and Kone, less than Chiumini or Belaba transfer fees, let's cook. Thank you very much to Savage. Also, if we had to sell three players for 30 million plus, who goes, says Anthony Tracy. Bookie says Camavinga or Kone would have to start with Tillemans. Will we have another Mainu issue like we did under Ruben? I don't think Michael Carrick's got the balls. I don't think Michael Carrick's got the balls to drop Mainu. I don't. And I don't think he should, but I'm just saying, I think Carrick's aware that if he drops Mainu, he's creating a massive issue for himself. He won't drop Mainu. I just can't see him dropping Mainu. Not like Amrim did. It goes against what Carrick's all about as well. Carrick really wants to try and, you know, be part of the Stretford end. You know, he's turned up to games in the past. I don't think he's going to start doing stuff that goes against the fabric of what Man United is. And Mainu is a player that the majority of this fan base want to see in the team with Man United building around him. Whether he'll take him out of the team if he's not performing is another matter. But I think Mainu starts the season, yeah. Chelsea apparently in talks with Real for Carrera. If true, would frustrate me no end when clearly we need a left back. I think we will buy one this window, says Caleb. We'll never go back for Alvaro. We'll never go back for him. Rightly or wrongly, we just won't. Ami says we bid 80 plus 5 for Mateus Fernandez, so the club clearly has the appetite for a marquee midfielder, so technically we can go for Scott or Wharton, says Ami. Yeah, but that's before we went and bought Santos and Tielemans. You know, when we were bidding for Mateus Fernandez, maybe we were just going to get him and Edison. I mean, they've always said that the budget's 150. If we'd have spent 85 on Mateus Fernandez plus the 40 for Edison, that would have only left us 20. So I don't know that we have got that amount of money left now to go and spend an £80 million signing. Look, we'll wait and see. I don't think we'll go for Wharton or Scott. I might be wrong. Who would your last three signings be? Midfielder, left back or forward, says Josh. I like the idea of Brobby. I think that's an interesting one. I don't think we'll do it, but I like that idea. Left back, I would love Truffert or Lewis Hall. Midfielder, look, if it's up to me, I would be in the Alex Scott conversation. Obviously, we're in the Kone conversation. And I don't mind being in the Camavinga conversation. So I would hope that we would get one of those three. Don't ask me to rank them because I think that's very difficult. But, you know, one of those three, Scott, Camavinga or Kone, is where I'd be looking to land now if I was United. The midfield has been prioritised, rightly so. However, in terms of another forward signing, is there any names you think might pop up soon? I don't know who we're going to go for as a forward, Pengers. I mean, as I said, Brobby is interesting, but he's going to be out of our price range. He's going to be massively out of our price range. So I don't know where we go. I mean, people talk about Vlahovic. He was on 300 grand a week at Juventus. We're not going to go for Vlahovic. That's not going to happen. It just won't. So I think that realistically, you tell me. I don't know. What hurt you more, Euro 2020 or 2024? Neither hurt me that much. I didn't like Southgate. I didn't like the way we played. And we didn't deserve to win. Tonight will hurt me more than those two. We've got to beat Argentina tonight. You know, I'm trying not to think about it too much because it gets me so excited, but we've got to win tonight. Talking about Argentina, let's have a look at... the Martinez story. That's very interesting. So I saw where it came from today because they put it in the Manchester Evening News. And effectively, apparently Nico Williams is keen on a move to Man United as well. Fucking hell. I don't know what I think about that. This is all on the Manchester Evening News page today. United have reportedly held talks with the representatives of Dortmund fullback Ryerson, according to reports from Bild. I mean, look, I'd love that to be true, but I think we need better than that.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I'm just trying to see where it was about Tielemans. Sorry, not Tielemans, Martinez. Okay, it was in the Manchester News and it said Lisandro Martinez has reportedly been offered to La Liga side Atletico Madrid this summer. Al Chincarito claimed that the Argentinian centre-back could be on his way to the Spanish capital. He struggled badly with injuries in recent seasons and has only got 1 year left on his contract. Martinez is a popular figure, but his fitness issues could mean a sale makes sense. I think the answer's there, and I think we spoke about this yesterday. The answer is there, isn't it? This is not about his injuries. I mean, how can you say we're moving Martinez on because of his injuries, but you've kept Luke Shaw, you've kept Mason Mount? You know, it's total contradiction. Harry Maguire's had a lot of injuries in the last 2 years and we gave him another contract. So we'll keep Maguire, we'll keep Shaw, we'll keep Mount, but we'll sell Martinez because of injuries. I mean, it's total contradiction. This is because if we move Martinez on, and it's a big if we move him on, this is contractual. This is because we don't want to give him a new contract and he's only got a year left. So it would be an absolute shit show to let Martinez go. He's performed fantastically well in the World Cup. He's arguably our best centre-back with De Ligt. And we can't be cashing in on players like that. And he has value as well, as exactly what Jack Cassidy said. It's also because no one will buy Mount, no one will buy Shaw, no one will pay us for Maguire. but they'll give us probably 30 million, maybe even 40 for Martinez, a pure profit. So that's why we'd be looking to sell Martinez if we did. This can't happen, and I don't think it will happen. But if it did happen, it's just about bringing some money to balance the books. And that's where people will say we are Everton, because the quality of the signings we've made aren't marquee. And if we start selling our better players, there's no point bringing Tielemans in and selling Martinez. That's sort of like an Everton thing to do. You let a good player go and then you bring a player in like that. You know, you can't let Martinez go to bring money into the club. The minute we start selling good players to balance the books is the minute we stop being a big club. This is the way Everton behave, Newcastle behave, Villa behave. You can get in the Champions League like that, but you're never going to compete for the big prizes. And Man United need to compete for the big prizes. Big clubs don't sell people like Lisandro Martinez. So keep an eye on it, but I can't believe that it's going to be true. In relation to Angelo Stiller, there is a bit of an update today. And again, I'll shout out that I saw it on the Manchester Evening News page as well, basically saying that today is the last day for Stiller. It's actually coming in from Sport Bild. And they're saying that United linked Angelo Stiller's release clause, which allows him to leave the club for a fixed fee of £31 million, expires today. It is therefore understood that he's probably going to stay at Stuttgart as things stand. They are in the Champions League this season, so he's probably going to stay for another year, which might be a pull, actually, to stay and play in the Champions League. But Stiller's release clause expires today. In fairness to United, there's been nothing concrete or even a whisper about Stiller for probably 3 months. So as much as I like Stiller, and it's a player I said, you know, I'd love to see us go for, I've not heard anything around him for a very long time. What do you make of Patrick Lynch says, what do you make of Wilcox with our new signings? It's weird to me that Carrick isn't there as well. Oh, I mean, look, Wilcox is the director of football. And, you know, if I'm speaking openly about Wilcox, which I always will, I would sack him tomorrow. I don't think he's a very inspiring director of football. And I think there's been a lot of mistakes made by him, including managers. But he's always there when there's a signing. You know, he knows how to play the game. When there's a signing, he's always there giving an interview. I don't know why Carrick's not giving any comments. I mean, he's not an interim anymore. He's the coach. So I hadn't noticed that, Patrick, that Carrick hasn't said anything about any of our signings, which is a bit odd because he is the manager now. Do I think it's to do with him being the head coach and he doesn't say anything? That'd be strange. I think you want your manager to come out and say something. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But I also think it's strange that we've been back in pre-season for a week and he hasn't done an interview or a press conference yet, because that's something we always expect from Ten Hag, Amorim, Mourinho, Van Gaal, Oli. I would have expected, you know, we've got a pre-season game on Saturday afternoon. We're doing a watch-along on Saturday afternoon for a pre-season game. Like, pre-season starts on Saturday. And we've not had anything from Carrick yet. And I know he's not the most interesting person to listen to, but I think managers are quite interesting at the start of the season because you can ask them about, you know, are you happy with the window? What's your feelings about the squad? What are you thinking about next season? So I would hope that we get to hear from Carrick soon, because, you know, pre-season is where you want your manager talking to you. And I know I've used the wrong word there, but you want your head coach talking to the fans. I didn't want Carrick to get the job. People can say what they like, but they didn't. But now that he's got the job, I will back him. And to back him, you've got to listen to him. So I hope that we will start to hear from him soon. But I've got to be honest, I hadn't really noticed about the Carrick not commenting on the players, because he will do that at some point. Thanks, everyone who's tuning in this morning. Thank you so much. Nearly 15,000 tuning in again. Camavinga would make a lot of sense. How much would he cost, says Nat? Well, he's got a billion release clause, according to the New York Times. I don't think we'll be paying a billion. I think we would go for... I think you might be right for about 60. I love these types of chats. So Paris in the live chat says, have you heard who Bournemouth are going to sign? What am I supposed to do with that if I haven't heard who it is? Could you not have said, have you heard who Bournemouth are going to sign? They're in for that. Because I don't know now. So I can't answer. Actually, I like those sort of comments. I love when you do your stats comparisons between players. What do you use, sir? Says Owen. Y Scout. And if anyone wants me to do, I can do those because we can upload them at 2 a.m. or 7 a.m. So if you want, have you got any suggestions, leave them in the comments. I've got a lot more time now with the World Cup closing down as well. Ami says, we don't need a backup striker. We have Cunha and Mbeumo, who can also slot in as a fluid nine. Left back, left midfielder and CDM are an absolute priority, says Ami. I sort of disagree with you, mate, if I'm going to be honest. I wasn't going to, but I will. I don't like Mbeumo up front. A square peg in a round hole is not a solution. I don't like Mbeumo up front. I think he's been poor since Christmas because of that. Cunha up front, I'd like to see a little bit more of. I think he can do the job, but you're right. If we buy a left winger, Cunha's going to have to play up front a bit because he's not going to play on the wing and he's not going to play at 10. So you might be right about Cunha, but I don't like Mbeumo up front. I don't think we've seen any evidence of that working yet. Any news when De Ligt is back, Mark, says Ian. He's already back. He's training individually at the moment. He's not training with the rest of the squad. So if there's no setbacks, he should be back for the start of the season, I would imagine. We should start to see him in some pre-season games. And we should see Santos in a pre-season game on Saturday. Remember, pre-season, you'll only see half a team each half, by the way. If we had bid $130 million for Anderson, do you think we would have been priced out on other much-needed players? We should have made up the numbers earlier, says Tom. I don't know is the answer to that, Tom. I really don't. I think that, you know, we've got a budget and we're working to it. I don't want another Frankie de Jong situation, says Simon. Well, I don't think there's a Frankie de Jong situation ongoing because either Camavinga wants to come and we'll pursue it or he doesn't. The problem with the Frankie de Jong situation is all summer we just locked in on him and he never wanted to come. If we had to sell three, I've done that one from Anthony as well. Great stuff. Is Carrick trying to replicate the Scholes Carrick midfield? Not saying Tielemans or Kone are the same level, but it seems we are prioritising control, says Clarkey. I think the Scholes Carrick midfield in the modern game would get absolutely obliterated. I mean, one thing you can say about the last 10 years of midfield play is that if you're not quick, energetic and athletic, you're going to get destroyed. You've got to have something like that. Everybody's got it. You know, you think about Scholes and Carrick in the modern game, they'd struggle because football is a lot quicker. It's a lot more intense. You can imagine Scholes and Carrick coming up against the likes of Caicedo and people like that, that you do need some athleticism in there. I mean, I think Michael Carrick would work in the modern game because of, you know, I think he's got Rodri type tendencies, but I think he also needs somebody with a lot of legs next to him. I mean, obviously, I'm now thinking about Michael Carrick playing for Man United, which is not going to happen. Been really busy, says Dan, for the past few weeks, but are we even looking at a left back? Not at the moment. Not at the moment. And I think United are working down a list. I think the third midfielder comes there now. Sunrise's Army says not true. Salm says not true. Well, I'm not going to get into an argument with people about hypotheticals. I don't think Scholes and Carrick work in the modern game. I don't. I mean, who's the third midfielder as well? I mean, why are we having a conversation about Scholes and Carrick? Because as we saw last night, if you play as a midfield two, you're going to get absolutely annihilated. You know, if you think about teams like Newcastle, Tonali, Bruno G, Joel Linton, you know, you think about teams like Liverpool, Szoboszlai, McAllister, Gravenberch, who would be the third midfielder as well? We're not playing a 4-4-2, are we? Because we'd get absolutely annihilated. I still say Scholes and Carrick would struggle in the modern game because they get overwhelmed. You'd have to have somebody with them, and I think they'd need somebody with legs as well. Stick Roy Keane in there with them. I think you're laughing, but the days of 4-4-2 are over, absolutely over. No team's going to play 4-4-2 anymore. And I mean, look, just watch France yesterday. Absolute suicide in a World Cup semi-final to play like that against Spain. To go 2-3. And I think Tchouaméni and Rabiot have done well in this World Cup. And obviously Rabiot went off at half-time because he was late to the tackle and he was going to get sent off. Kone came on at half time, and they, you know, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. This is a make or break year for Yoro, says Anthony. I think that is a conversation to have over the next few weeks. Yeah, let's get the transfer window out of the way. Do you think Jobe Bellingham as the third midfielder? I've heard nothing about Jobe Bellingham. Absolutely nothing. I'd be very surprised if we went for him, definitely. Great show this morning. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, as always. Exclusive news is a little bit on Kone. Camavinga, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, but I'm not opposed to it. And obviously, trying to think when we'll be live. We've obviously got the 2 o'clock show. We'll be live at 2. England's at 8. Probably need to go live a little bit earlier for that. So maybe we're talking 6:45. Let's see what's going on. But it'll be an earlier 8 o'clock show tonight. It's definitely going to be around sort of 7 p.m. UK time. An hour earlier, we'll be live. Stay safe, everyone. Take care. I'll speak to you all in a bit.
Bubba Wallace here from 23-11 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.